Good morning and welcome to AC23, the podcast of the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge, where our mission is to foster the creative capacity and vibrancy of the Capital Region through advocacy, resources, and education. Good morning. Today I'm joined by representatives from the Manship Theater. We have Executive Director Jason Langlois and Marketing Coordinator Sarah Nichols. Thanks for joining us this morning, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Pam. Thanks for having us.
So, Jason, we'll start with you. So, you are the new guy in charge now. So, when did you take over as executive director?
This past January. So, I'm 5 months in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how's it been?
It's been great. I have the luxury of working at Manship Theater in different capacities for, I'm in my 19th year.
Oh, wow.
So okay. It's been a pretty decent transition into this new role.
Okay, so you're kind of like Jonathan Grimes here at the Arts Council. You kind of like worked your way up through the ladder here.
Yeah.
So where did you start off?
Bartender.
Okay.
When it opened, I just, a friend of mine was cutting hair down the street. They're not open anymore. And she was like, you need to come see this this new building that they're building, and it has a theater in it. And I just wanted to work there. So another friend of a friend got me in May of 2005.
Okay.
So a couple months after they opened.
Okay. So do you have a love of theater? Do you have a theater background kind of?
No, I'm marketing. I graduated in business marketing from LSU, but I do love live events. Okay. I think they're really great. I like planning them. And at our core, that is what we do, is we put on live events.
Okay. So kind of what is the mission of the Manship there? I mean, it's part of our community. It is in the, you're about to celebrate 20 years being open, so it's an integral part of the cultural fabric of Baton Rouge.
I agree. I'd say that. And downtown.
And downtown.
I think of us as an anchor for downtown, for sure, at least the entertainment corridor. Our mission is really enriching the community with diverse programming, national programming, mm-hmm. headlining programming, and then also working with local groups to help present their programming, especially when like theater groups and things like that, or dance groups.
Okay.
But it's really to make sure that Baton Rouge has all the arts that it needs. And I know there's other venues that do a great job of that also, but we're here to also hold it down.
You have your little niche. So what makes the Manship special? What makes it the Manship? How does it distinguish itself from everywhere?
I mean, the sound. If you've ever been in the theater, the sound is really distinct. And the view that you get, the experience that you're going to get on our main stage is really the crown jewel for us. There's no question it's one of the best sounding venues in Baton Rouge, as well as people, of course, because of the lower seating, there's no bad seat either. So it's a wonderful experience across the board.
Having gone there several times, it is... We are very lucky to have that venue. Really are. There, I've sat in every corner, nook and cranny you have, and I've never had a bad spot.
We've tried. We've tried to find that one bad spot, and we haven't found it yet.
So how has this experience been so far? I mean, what's been the growth here for you from when to be the one that's now in charge and to be able to put your mark on the theater?
It's still, I mean, it hasn't settled in all the way yet. I mean, my mentality with this job, because there's a lot of things that we do beyond just the live music and things like that. There's work, there's the day-to-day, there's payroll, all those things.
All that fun stuff.
But it's worth it. And it hasn't really sunk in yet. I mean, for me, I just have to remind myself all the time, because it could happen with a venue like that it's not a toy.
Yeah.
And that's hard. Because at any point, I just want to go, well, let's just do this. Let's just get this. And I want to do this. And being realistic about what we've seen work these past 19 years.
Yeah.
And listening to our yearly supporters, who are, the people that buy memberships every year, listening to our sponsors, and is more important. But it's hard sometimes not to just, like, go crazy and just start bringing in your favorite band.
Yeah. So do you think that probably the fact that you'll have basically a year under your belt, and most of these acts get booked, not 6 months out, but a year out in advance. So with the 20th anniversary coming up and you having a year under your belt, do you kind of think that's where you're going to be able to make your mark a little bit?
Start seeing some Jason. If you know me well, you might start seeing some hints that I'm in the reins. But We're fortunate. We've built a really good brand, and in a lot of ways, we're just trying to keep that brand and be stewards of the brand itself. Mm-hmm. And that took a lot of work from people that aren't me. Again, people that conceptualize the building itself, the theater itself, and then all the leadership along the way has helped really set me up in a pretty good position. We're not flying totally blind, that we know. We have our core supporters. We're always looking to grow audience and looking to get more sponsors and things like that. But luckily, there is a roadmap for me.
Okay. So speaking of branding, that's where Miss Sarah comes in. So how long have you been at Manship?
Now? I've been at Manship for 2 years now.
Okay. So you're still the new kid on the block almost. So what exactly is your role and what do you do? How do you factor into this?
So I'm our marketing coordinator. So I cover all of our marketing campaigns, social media, oversee all graphics. We're a nonprofit, so we all wear a lot of little hats. Mm-hmm. But mainly overseeing the marketing communications.
Okay. What's the most fun aspect of your job?
I mean, definitely the people. It's so great to come to work and have so many people that are so passionate about their jobs and so many like Jason that have been there for so long. So they do have like the fun little stories and tidbits.
Yeah.
But I also just love the wide range of programming that we produce. Because one day it's family programming, then the next day it's a comedian to a film, music. It's just something different every day.
Yeah. So you kind of started after the world shut down and started picking back up. So has that been a challenge to get people to get out of their living rooms again and come back to live events with more than 5 people in the room?
Yeah, I think it can be challenging. And even just fighting, people wanting to so much stuff you can just see on your phone and virtually and instantly and for free.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that is what's so great about Manship is it's a different experience. It's something that you can't get on your phone or anywhere else.
It's just watching a live musical show or live theater or experiencing that. And it is totally different than watching it on your phone, but also the shared experience of doing it with other people just elevates it to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Gathering with like-minded individuals. And like I said, the live event component, it's a commodity now, and we're not on the scale of like a live sporting event, but if you're not there, you miss it. There's no streaming it. That's not a la carte.
No.
So, that makes it interesting for us. It can be exciting. So
my husband and I went to see Dave Mason.
Yeah. And great show.
Was amazing. And I guess I kind of knew, but it didn't click what all music, and I thought, okay, If you wanted to know where everybody over the age of 60 was on this one night, they were at the Manship Theater.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was like AARP Central.
We should have gotten them to sponsor it.
You missed the boat there. So, Sarah, what are some of the fun stuff that are coming up in the rest of May and then first part of June? What's coming up?
Yeah, so, we just announced a whole slew of shows yesterday, actually. And so we're excited. We've got, that 70s band is coming. We've got the Black Opry, which is going to be really cool. It's a celebration of Black artists and country music blues and Americana. So that'll be a really unique and cool event. We also have Evangeline, the musical in concert, the 25th anniversary.
Oh, gosh.
Which is the homegrown. Yeah. If people are familiar with the story of the Acadians, written by Jamie Wax.
Jamie Wax and Paul Taranto.
Yep. But we're doing the concert version, a lot more focused on the songs themselves.
Okay.
But it's also their 25th anniversary
for
that production.
Oh Lord!
Okay. To celebrate
a 4-night tour or 4-night run.
We'll have 4 nights. That's going to be a big production for us. That's one of those ones where we're doing it in house, which we usually bring in a touring group.
Yeah.
But local performers and celebrating something that has toured on its own outside of Louisiana over the years.
But it's a homegrown something.
I don't think it's been here in a while.
It has been a long time.
And we're bringing back some of the original actors, too.
I love that. Mm-hmm. How cool is that? I don't even have to ask the question about how that one came to be. I see Paige Gagliano's fingerprints are all over this.
Yeah, they came to us pretty quickly. But we're excited. I think it's going to be a really cool show. And
absolutely.
It's been a while since we had a residency like that in a way.
That's a nice little feather in you guys' cap. Mm-hmm. I like that. So this past March, and I had a conflict and couldn't go, you had that the fact that the tickets sold out so quick, David Foster and Catherine McPhee were your red carpet gala performers this year. How did that come about, and how was it everything you thought it was going to be?
I think it was really Melanie Cuvion, who's now our programming director, stepped down from the executive director role. I think we had agents asking us about trying that show out, and we were looking for something. You know, when it's our gala, we want it to be elevated.
Sure.
I mean, the things we always hear from people is they love storytelling incorporated in with the music.
Yeah.
Like we saw at Dave Mason that you just mentioned. What David Foster did was bring it to the next level because he has the stories. And
yeah.
He was able to tell about working with Whitney Houston or working on Broadway. And then, of course, Catherine McPhee, her voice was incredible.
I can just imagine in the manship how that sounded.
Oh, yeah. It ended up being a big hit. And you don't always know.
Yeah.
But that one, we're very, very fortunate that we got such a strong response. It ended up being a great fundraiser for us. We can't thank the sponsors that were there that night and all the people involved. It was a great, for me, 3 months in, it was a nice kickstart because it was definitely one of the most successful galas we've ever had.
I've heard nothing but great things. Everybody said it was just like off the charts.
Yeah, it'll be a hard one to top. Yes. Catherine McPhee was out in the crowd singing with everybody. We had audience participation with the mics. She was up on the piano. It was a great show. So,
if you could just bottle that mic, huh?
Oh yeah, tell me about it.
So, as you said, we've had some amazing performers come through. So, Sarah, I'm going to start with you because in the past 2 years, who aside from David Foster and Catherine McPhee, who would you say has been your other wow? I can't believe I got to experience this.
I mean, my first week at Manship was when Ace Frehley came. And so that was an experience, to say the least. It was just a wild show. And I was wondering what I had gotten myself into, but it was great and fun. That was a great one. And then Dawes was also super cool, too.
Okay.
That was one of my favorite shows. And then just recently when we had Gregorian Chants.
How was that?
Very cool.
It was the most unique thing I've ever been to. It was incredibly visually appealing. And then also, I mean, just the way that they sounded was astounding.
We're lucky to have people like John Turner and Jerry Fisher
who are not just generous to you guys. I was just about to shout them out, yes.
But to us.
They helped us take, because that unpaid, you know, seems pretty risky, even though we are Performing Arts Center still. And as much as we like to do rock and roll and jazz and blues, we're still a Performing Arts Center. So that's a very Performing Arts Center type of show.
Yes, it is.
And they were on their very first U.S. tour. They all are.
Oh, wow.
They were touring Europe and getting pretty popular. So it was risky, but thanks to support like John and Jerry, that helped us mitigate that risk. And then it ended up being a hit. Like people the only tricky thing is it was in, if it had been in October, because it's such a gothic art form, I think it would have even been even bigger. But
see,
on a Sunday night, we almost filled the house. Yeah. Unless they get big like Celtic Women did. I don't know if it's not the same thing, but it feels similar. Just a very European performance, but very, very cool. And the feedback we got was great.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got word of mouth. You can bring them back really pack it up. So how about you? What are some of your favorites? You've got 19 years worth of fun stuff to go back over.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I mean, Martin Short was great. He did a one-man show. Well, him and his friend on a piano, where Martin Short did all his different characters.
Mm-hmm.
And he just showed up on his own and grabbed us, like whoever he was around. And we did all of his rehearsal with him and his blocking.
Oh, how fun.
And just him in it, and just super cool to work with. And which I guess you could expect, but that's one where you're kind of like, what is this job? And I think then I was just a bar manager.
Yeah.
I think I was still in school. And in that same vein, Steve Martin, when he came with the Steep Canyon Rangers, is obviously a big one, especially in a space our size.
Yeah.
Where he, and it was just a full-on bluegrass show, but like fantastic musicianship, and still had plenty of gags and bits and funniness, but very much bluegrass.
Yeah. I think a couple of my favorites were when they did the Beatles versus the Rolling Stones, which was another one of your red carpet gala events. That was totally not what I expected at all. And that was a lot of audience participation with that.
Yeah,
those are fun.
Those tribute kind of shows are really fun when they're elevated like that. We don't, because they were almost, they were, they, they, they took it to a new level.
Yeah.
Right? They weren't just covering the songs, I guess, or paying tribute. So that was a fun show where they actually changed into costumes and everything. But the production was really high for that.
And then there was another one that was a blast from my childhood, which was the Brother Dave Gardner.
Oh, yeah.
Which... Yeah. He was such a original Southern thing that my mom and dad had his album, so I grew up listening to all of that stuff. So it was fun to see that. So you've had a lot of things that you've got stuff that appeals to every age.
Not just crazy
old people like me, but cute young things like the two of you.
Well, crazy young people, too. Yeah. No, we try. And, we've been adding the comedy, the stand-up comedy programming. Mm-hmm. I think that reaches a new audience. The films, the independent films have always done that.
Yeah.
Would love to get some younger music in there, too. But now that we switch, we're more year-round programming rather than a season.
Yeah.
So there's opportunities for us to jump on shows that are routing through and try to be a little more nimble, which helps you get some in the, when you catch these bands when they're coming up, like the Avett Brothers.
Yeah.
Which is another big show we had a few years in a row that quickly outgrew us, but it was really cool to see that rise and be a part of it.
Yeah. You can say we were back there in the day.
Yeah. We listened to them before they were big.
That's it. We knew them before they were cool. You talked about, I know one of the things you do, that's also, you also have you have a black box studio over there, Hartley Vay, which is a smaller venue. And that's, I know you have the Family Improv Comedy Guys there. So what's that vibe kind of like? What's that?
It's great. And we've done a lot of work in that space now where it has its own entrance from North Boulevard, its own covered entrance that's lit up really well. So you can walk down from restaurants like Strubies and Jolie Pearl. So it's very much its own experience. It has a bar in the space with you, which is not something we can really do in the main stage.
Yeah.
And speaking of comedy and the Family Dinner Improv Guys, that's been our local group for months. Now. I mean, well, they do it every month, but we've been working with them for years and years and years.
Yeah.
But we've also been routing our headlining stand-up through there, the stand-up comedians, because it's a great space for that. It's got a kind of a club feel.
Yeah.
Cabaret tables with linens on them.
Yeah.
And so far, so good. We had a show this past week that went really well. So these are, comedians that you're seeing on Jimmy Kimmel Live, or you're seeing them on Conan O'Brien. Okay. They're not doing the stadiums yet. They're still grinding, but they have a nice 45-hour-long set. And it gives a chance for some of the local comedians from Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and New Orleans some reps.
Yeah.
And to get to know these headlining comedians. So that's exciting program that works. It just works really well in that black box.
Okay.
The studio, the Hartley Bay Studio, as we call it.
Well, I know earlier this year you partnered with the Arts Council and the River City Jazz Masters to bring When You Wish Upon a Star, which was a celebration of Walt Disney music for 100 years. And then a couple of weeks ago, you partnered with the Blues Fest Gang for Lisa Musselwhite.
Yep.
So how cool is it, and how important is it to partner with other organizations to elevate all of this stuff?
Oh, it's great. And part of the mission. In the case of Arts Council of the River City Jazz Series, we've been doing that for a very long time.
Since day one, I think.
And those types of partnerships take the pressure off of us and our partner, where we can go in and take a risk together. Mm-hmm. And it elevates our programming, where we don't have to worry, because of the River City Jazz Series in general, whether it's a co-promotional partnership or a co-productional partnership, it elevates our programming schedule. We don't have to worry about jazz, because Arts Council is going to get the best jazz in town.
Yeah.
And all we have to do is open our doors, which makes life easier. even with Red Dragon, some of the best singer-songwriters coming through, when we partner with Red Dragon, it's the same thing. So those types of things, it's what we should be doing, but it also honestly makes our jobs a lot easier.
Takes a little bit of pressure off.
Yeah.
Having to do everything.
Right.
Well, then it's like you did, y'all have had several international guitar nights, which is just showcases people that are guitar musicians. And then you've had, just not too long ago, you had accordions, right?
Yep, the Steve Riley Accordion Kings.
Yeah. So you've had different nights where you highlight what may not, off the top of your head, seem like a concert, but it puts part of what makes living in South Louisiana special in the spotlight. So
yeah, absolutely. And what Steve Riley did, and we, Sarah and I went, where he went over to West Baton Rouge Museum, where they were doing a musician's fete. And mm-hmm. I think Jonathan was out there later in the day with Arts Council, and educating musicians about copywriting. And Sarah brought a packet about marketing assets that help put your, like, a marketing packet together for different venues. And Steve Riley jumped on and did like an hour long performance. I think we only asked for 30 minutes, but he kept going in their jukebox venue over at West Baton Rouge Museum.
How do you get out of there?
Cool. I know. Once he had an audience, you know, it's hard to like get these musicians to stop, but it was really, really cool. And he's one of those musicians that's always up for that type of outreach, or what we call Man Trip on the Move.
Okay. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining me this morning. So tell people how they can stay in touch with everything that's going on, because your calendar is like cray cray.
Yeah.
So how do they do
that? So we add shows monthly, and the best way to stay up to date is on our website, manshiptheater.org. You can sign up for our email list and, of course, follow us on social media. We're on every channel at Manship Theater.
Okay. Thank you so
much. Becoming an annual supporter if you have the budget. We have different types of plans, but it's another way where you get a little more hands-on touch, and you get early access pre-sale to tickets when shows go on sale.
Yeah. See, you get benefits from being a member of Manship. You get benefits from being a member of the Arts Council. It's a twofer deal. Okay, guys. Thanks so much, and we hope you'll join us again next Sunday. We thank you for joining us this morning for AC23. You can catch replays on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Support for this programming comes from Shell, our generous donors and members. To help us continue programming like this, please consider joining.
Good morning. I'm Erin Doge, Philanthropy and Grants Officer at the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. I would like to invite you to support our transformative work supporting artists and arts organizations across our 11 parish region. Each year, the Arts Council disperses grants to artists, arts organizations, and other creatives, produces free festivals and concerts, provides arts education opportunities for all ages, and so much more. Please consider making an investment in your community today by visiting artsbr.org and click the donate button. Thank you.